I'm surprised there are very few normal persons here. Okay, so I guess you guys are crazy then. All right, cool. Well, that's kind of what, as I prepared on this topic, just showed how crazy God is, actually, about you and your personal things and what he wants to do in your life. So we'll just go to the next slide. So God's love is really crazy. And I think he will also bring the next slide. Okay. Just probably hit the arrow. All right. Okay. Oh, there it is. Okay. Cool. So let's go directly to the heart of God. Huh? So a God is definitely a God of love, but we also expect him to be just. So there's the love and justice. If you click once more, in Romans 6:23, you see that it says, "For the wages of the sin is death." Punkt. Yeah. There's not the punkt there, but there's no ambiguity that wages of sin is death. So how come the sense of justice, this God, can act with love, with grace and mercy? So how many of you have seen James Bond movies? Oh, come on, guys, accept it. Yeah. Okay, yeah, good. Very good number. For that matter, Superman or any kind of superhero, Spider-Man, all right, Chris, yeah. So what happens in these kind of movies? There's a good guy, there's a bad guy. And what happens in the end? So the good guy fights the bad guy, and who wins usually? We, good guy, yeah? So I guess, and sometimes we hope that we had such superpowers that we go and hit somebody who we think is a bad guy and can reign over him. So what I'm trying to say is, even when you go to such movies, I think you will be only happy when you see good guy is reigning over the evil guy, which means we all have a sense of justice in our heart. We want really just things to happen in this world, and this sense of justice actually leads to some action in you sometimes. Yeah, you go and hit a bad guy. Yeah, so you being human, you have a sense of justice. Think about this heart of God, how just he is and what he should act like with his sense of justice. I don't think we have any chance to escape our sins. So how does it fit? And how did God solve this mystery? Well, luckily we didn't have to solve it. God did. And how did he do? This is this cross. He took the wrath of his justice on him in this cross so that he will act with mercy and love to you. Is that crazy, guys? Or yeah? One guy at least finds it crazy. So it's 1 John 4:10, which says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So without this crazy love of God, we don't have any hope in this world. So it doesn't stop there. So we are going to look at from the mouth of the lion. So God himself explains what his kingdom is like and what his love is like in Luke 15. And he does it with using three parables, and we are going to go through all of them very shortly, yeah, very quickly. And really, this really speaks the heart of God, eh? And amazingly, he does the speech in a setting. If you read, you can go home and read Luke 15. There is tax collectors, there is sinners on one side, and there is Pharisees on the other side. And these Pharisees are murmuring, oh, this Jesus, he's having relationship with sinners. And then he says, guys, you got it wrong. And this is what God's kingdom is like. So if you click. So the first parable he says is the parable of lost sheep. So there is this shepherd who has 100 sheep. Okay, quite a bit. And then one evening he finds out one little sheep is missing. First of all, if you have 100, you probably even not notice that you have lost one sheep. But this shepherd of him, he knew each of his sheep. And he found out that it's lost. And usually, if a sheep is lost, I think it is not that easy to go and find it, for one thing. And it's also probably a little dangerous because sheep are prey for wild animals usually. So if you are going to look for it, you're probably also a prey for wild animals. And he has to leave his 99 good sheep, and he has to take the journey. I don't know about you, if I was there, I'll be probably happy with the 99. I wouldn't have taken this journey. But this God, or this shepherd of us, he's crazy. So he goes, finds the sheep, wherever it was, in his lost state, he comes back, brings it back to this 99, and he's rejoicing about it. So what it says, this God's love is quite extravagant, yeah? He's not a limited God. He's not limited by our thinking or our capacities of what we can do. So he's quite extravagant. And what the story also says, he's very personal. He goes and meets you in your lost state. Maybe the sheep who wandered away from its way was guilty to death. Yeah. But God goes and picks you and brings it back and has a party. And he's quite a puzzling God, because you and me or the sheep really doesn't deserve this action at the end. So that's crazy. Yeah? And it doesn't stop there. The next story he says is about this woman who lost a coin. It says this coin is not worth that much, but it had some probably personal relationship for this woman. And what does this woman do? She cleans her entire house and she turns the house upside down. Actually, I don't know if you're married. When women clean the house, they turn it upside down. Huh? Okay. But it doesn't. So she finds the coin. So she does this and she finds the coin and she goes out. And she, this is crazy, yeah? She goes out, she calls all her friends, tells that she found the coin, and she throws a party, which is probably much more worth than this coin. Crazy. That's crazy, yeah? God really doesn't count cost when it comes to finding you or me in our state. This is not logical, and I don't think that's exactly what he was trying to tell the Pharisees. I think God doesn't count cost when it comes to you, because you're too precious for him. All right, the third story, prodigal son. So I guess most of you know the story, but I'll go really quickly, yeah? So there's this nobleman, this old guy. So and he has two sons. And the younger son, he actually disrespects this nobleman's authority. So he has a lot of riches. He's very rich. And this younger son says, okay, Dad, I don't want to live the way you want me to live. Give me my portion of the property. I will go and live according to my will. And crazy thing is, this nobleman lets his son to do that. He just gives his share of property and lets him go. And what he does, he squanders all the money, all the property he has. And what happens, he goes and he's pushed to this state that he goes and works in a pig's stable. And he eats what is given for pigs, actually. Yeah, I don't think pigs eat very cool things. So I think in that state, he really realizes even the servant in my father's house have a better life than I do. Can I just be a servant in my father's house? So he slowly goes to his father, not to claim a sonship, to be a servant. And what does this nobleman does? He runs, hugs him, puts a new cloth on him, and celebrates. And he's not acting in judgment and righteousness, he's acting with grace and mercy. And he's giving him back the sonship, although he just wanted to be a servant. Yeah. And there's another part to the story, the guy on the right, the first son, he has been always with this noble father, but what does he do? He doesn't understand how his God or how his father works. He thinks, oh, I was always been with my father, and my father never throwed a party for me. And he refuses to come in and take part in this party. So what his judgment paralyzes him from working through grace and mercy. He's righteous. He's probably right in a sense. But he's not able to work in grace and mercy in this situation. So that's the kingdom of God pictured here. I don't know where you are in your state. You're probably like this noble father who is probably forgiving a sin of your friend or whatever. Or you're like this prodigal son who's coming back or feeling extremely guilty about something you've squandered in your life. And you probably don't know what to do with your life. Or you're probably paralyzed like that first son in your righteousness, saying that I am right. But whatever situation you're going to or where you are, I think you can approach this noble father and he's going to act in grace and love and mercy. And that's quite crazy. And this God of love who's crazy, we want to really celebrate today, the way he celebrates. It's not about counting costs. It's not about how you think his love is. It's quite extravagant. It's quite puzzling. And it's really crazy. So let's all just have this picture in your mind. We are going to do different things tonight to express our thanksgiving for this love of God and also understanding his love for us in our situation right now. So I'll just explain what we'll do. But before that, I just want you to think about this and that you submit your life to this crazy love from God. And the funny thing is, once you do that, what are you? You're also crazy. You cannot be normal. You cannot be normal. That's not what it says. You got to also act in grace and mercy. And so I really encourage you to take this into your day-to-day or rest of the week that you are not going to be a normal person because of this God's love. Okay? So what we are going to do now is we have three stands here. If you one on the left here, to my left. There's one there in the middle and one there on the right. And in the left here, we are going to have what is called a prayer and communion table. So if you have something you want to pray about in your life and you want to receive this love of God in all its beauty, then there'll be people there who could pray for you, and also you can partake in the communion in the body of Christ after your repentance. Or you can also just come and partake as you feel like. So there'll be people there. I just ask also the house group leaders also to be there to help us in prayers. And there is this table in the middle where you can express your joy or thanksgiving or whatever, your sorrow, whatever you want to express through a song, letter writing, drawing, and whatever way you can express yourself. I think dancing is also allowed, I guess. I don't know. Okay. The creative team will tell you what to do there. So, and this corner here where Sue is sitting, I was told that it's a lounge where you can meet some Christians and talk. And Sue claims himself to be a Christian. You can test that. You can talk to him. We can see whether he can act with grace and mercy tonight. And Rob will also be helping there. So there you can have a discussion about whatever is going on in your life. If you want to talk to some Christians, you could go there. Okay? That we'll probably do for, 25 minutes, half an hour, and then we'll come back and have a